Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you don't have to just listen. If you prefer to watch, Civic Media's got its own YouTube channel. Just search for Civic Media. You can watch me and all of my fine guests there. We also stream live on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Maggie Dawn Show. You can check out all my social posts there as well. If you prefer the professional version of Maggie, you can find me on LinkedIn under Margaret Dawn. And you can find my next guest's fabulous work on the Substack recombobulation area. There's a sale going on right now. We'll talk about that in a minute. As well as on Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. His name is Dan Schaefer. You may better know him as the creator of the recombobulation area, here to help us every week recombobulate this week's news in state politics. Welcome back, Dan. Great to have you.
Joe.
Wonderful. Say that one more time so everybody can hear you, Dan. Nice to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me. Always wonderful to join you on the Maggie Dawn Show. We can get a little discombobulated at times, I guess.
But, yes.
We're always going to recombobulate here.
So I want to start out with something that all of the wonks and political pundits and political folks that I know here in the state of Wisconsin are talking about, and that is the next gubernatorial election cycle. We get done with one, and already everybody's talking about the next election. It seems to be that the common accepted thinking is that Governor Evers is likely going to run for a next term, though that could change. This leaves open the question of who the heck is going to run against Evers from the GOP side. I mention all of this because it seems, especially on the Democratic side, that there may be people willing to run a second time immediately after a loss. I'm thinking of Rebecca Cook, who's already said, yep, I'm running again. We're hearing rumblings or thinkings that that may be happening in a few other congressional districts because, especially on the House side, only two-year cycles there. So, Dan, who's on the short list? Does it include Tim Michaels? Might he be on the short list? Gosh, help us.
I don't think we're going to see the Tim Michaels 2.0 campaign, but you're right. These conversations are beginning for the gubernatorial race. And there was some news that the Journal Sentinel reported this week. A guy by the name, Republican businessman, by the name of Bill Berrien, who's a Navy SEAL veteran and the CEO of Pindell Global Precision and Liberty Precision in New Berlin, announced that he is launching his own PAC, which means that he is going to be running for something. Now, no name recognition at all for this individual. No idea what exactly he would be bringing to the table. But I think this, if nothing else, starts the conversation for who's going to be running for governor on the Republican side. Like you mentioned, you know, Tony Evers seems likely to run again. We shall see. He's not going to be making that decision until after the budget process. So it's going to be interesting to see who jumps into the mix for the Republicans.
Indeed it will. I mean this very glibly, not in a serious way, but geez, I'm sure getting sick and tired of the multimillionaire set swooping in to run for elected office as if having a boatload of money somehow qualifies one to be an elected official. I'm not sure that those skill sets are necessarily always transferable, very person dependent. Seems like we're brewing up yet another potential billionaire candidate from the GOP side. Ho-hum. Here it goes again. Anybody else on the short list or that you're hearing rumblings about for the GOP side of the ticket, Dan?
Yeah, I've seen some stories going around with, you know, kind of in conservative media and whatever else. You know, I think a new favorite on the right is Sean Duffy. Because of his now prominent role in the Trump administration. He's on TV all the time. I think that would be a little bit surprising if he were to be, you know, the transportation secretary and then, you know, jump out of it to run for governor right away. I would be a little bit surprised by that. I've seen some talk that Eric Hovde might again run. You know, he's got his name out there. He came close to beating Tammy Baldwin. Would that, you know, put him into the mix for governor and Republican side? You know, remains to be seen. A couple other names that I've heard are Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. He has, you know, kind of raised his profile in a number of ways in recent years. That is one potential contender. And then I've also heard State Senator Patrick Teston, who's from central Wisconsin. I believe he's in leadership in the Republican State Senate. But again, Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman from the Northwoods, you know, he will kind of do what you don't see a whole lot of from you know, people, members of Congress, which is weigh in on state issues. And I think, you know, the fact that you see him, you know, having comments on Tony Evers or what's happening in the state legislature seems to suggest he is at least to a certain extent plugged into what's going on in state politics. So he's another name to watch for the gubernatorial race as well.
Yeah, it is a fascinating time to watch these various approaches to, you know, like, what are the pro cons for them in terms of running? Is it just a pure who's the best situated to win calculus? And, you know, can people self-fund their campaigns, right? Or are they going to need the Elon Musk of it all help, which did not bode very well for dear old Brad Schimmel, who apparently is getting floated for a potential Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals seat or some other Article III judgeship. Because you know what I like to do with utterly unqualified partisans is put them into a lifetime appointment as a jurist in our federal court system. I'm sure that will have no negative impacts at all whatsoever. I wanted to also, Dan, ask you about if there have been more rumblings about what is in the near term going to be Wisconsin Dems picking who's going to lead the party here. Who's got their, we talked about one person who immediately threw their hat in the ring. Are there other candidates? And let's recap from last week. Who is definitely in the race and who is newly potentially going to join?
Yeah. So, yeah, I joined the show last week right as the news was breaking and we talked about Ben Wickler and all of that. We didn't get a chance to talk about who might be next. And Devin Remiker, who is part of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, he immediately launched his campaign. I have also seen that Glendale Mayor Brian Kennedy is going to throw his hat into the ring there. And as is William Garcia, who is the chair of the 3rd District Democrats in western Wisconsin. Also a lot of rumblings that Joe Zepecki, who is a strategist and a familiar voice on our airwaves here on the Civic Media Network, is considering throwing his hat into the ring as well. I've also heard some rumblings about State Senator Kelda Royes. Not exactly sure if she would be a candidate for that role right now, but I do understand that people have been asking her about that as she's been around the state for, you know, the Joint Finance Committee's listening sessions as well. So, you know, a number of names in the mix there. And Ben Wickler's term will end at the end of June or in mid-June when the state party has its convention in Wisconsin Dells. So, you know, that will be a big decision about the future of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
For those who like to, you know, hedge and prognosticate, do you think that there's a favorite right now, Dan?
I do think Remiker, you know, given the fact that he's been part of, you know, kind of the party's structure over the past few years, has worked under Ben Wickler, you know, that seems to be the way of, you know, kind of passing the torch to somebody who has been,
who knows,
you know, very much involved with that, knows the system, would be kind of, you know, I don't think Wickler's going to, you know, come out and endorse anybody in this race, but I think Remiker might be looked at as an internal choice. But also, I think this is going to be an open race. And I think, you know, the candidates who have gotten into the mix, who are running for this role, you know, this is going to be a competition. You know, this isn't going to be an anointed candidate who's going to, you know, just be Wickler's handpicked successor. I don't think it's going to unfold that way. I think they want the members of the party to make that decision.
And a competition with consequence. I don't know Mr. Remiker personally at all, but I went to law school with Kelda Royes, spent a lot of time talking with her about politics and policy. I worked with Brian Kennedy in my former capacity as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel, a reasonable guy, a good faith actor by all accounts. And of course, we all know Joe Zepecki, who's a longtime political advisor, political consultant, helps run campaigns, knows what's up. What I get worried about with any one candidate is political strategy, fundraising, ground game that works in Dane and Milwaukee counties doesn't always work in different regions of the state. And familiarity therewith, and all of these people have familiarity across the state, but it's a question of how grassroots, how much experience, because again, mobilizing not just Dane and Milwaukee County, which is really step one, but those statewide races that we have to succeed in, or that Democrats feel like they have to succeed in, will require some outstate engagement, connection, and voters turning out. So it's a really interesting time for the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Watch this space. I'm sure we will have more coming from Dan and others as the race heats up. Something to watch for sure. I am going to be joined by your friend and my friend, Dan, and everybody who's listening. Jeremy, Janine is going to join me in just a little bit. One of the things that we need to talk about is the lead problem, not just in Milwaukee public schools, but in schools that were built prior to, I believe it's 1978, across the state. I heard a statistic recently that it's some 40% or higher of all school buildings that kids are in this state are that old or older. So it's a huge, swath of buildings. This ain't just a Milwaukee public schools problem. But Dan, you shared with me some news that does not bode well for federal grant funding that helps support efforts to remediate lead poisoning and to help communities that are facing potential lead poisoning challenges. Tell us more, Dan.
Yeah, this some news that has broken over the past week or so here. The city of Milwaukee has found that the lead problem in Milwaukee schools, particularly with having to do with lead paint, is far more widespread than they initially realized. And the city officials made a formal request to the CDC for help in late March, and found not only that they would not be able to help, but that under the direction of the Trump administration and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as Health and Human Services Secretary, they are eliminating the agency's entire lead program. So it is not just Milwaukee that is going to be dealing with this when they, you know, find problems that are maybe beyond the scope of local level, that can be dealt with at the local level. Federal help is just not going to be there for this. And I think this is a major, major problem. And I think it is going to be incumbent on state leaders and local leaders to step up and do something in the wake of this, because help from the feds is not coming. It is not going to come from the Trump administration.
This is one of those head scratchers, Dan, that I cannot get this to make sense to me at all. The response from the CDC, it came from Aaron Bernstein, the director of the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, which is a sub-department of the CDC, wrote to the city of Milwaukee and said, "I regret to inform you that due to the complete loss of our lead program, we will be unable to support you with this." Who on God's green earth benefits from the federal government's taxpayer-funded CDC lead poisoning response team being shut down? I like, that just is such an abomination. Government at its most basic, boiled down to the simplest things, uses taxpayer dollars to help support the public's health and welfare. That is the purpose of government. Now, we do that through all kinds of different things, right? But this, where kids are neurologically compromised for life from lead poisoning, that's what's on the cutting block under RFK and Donald Trump's pen? Unacceptable. Get on the phones, people. Call your state leaders. Call Tom Tiffany and tell them that's no good. We want our support from the CDC for lead poisoning back and fully funded. Thanks so much, Dan Schaefer. Always enjoy recombobulating with you on Wednesdays. You're going to want to keep it locked. We're going to take a short little amount of time for some messages and be back with Jeremy Janine. The lead conversation continues next.